Reporting for WFHB, I'm Joe Crawford. Today I'm joined in the studio by two candidates who are running to be Monroe County Commissioners. I'm joined by Julie Thomas, who is the incumbent, as well as a Democrat, and Nelson Schaefer, who is a Republican. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting us. I've always admired your displays at various civic places, and I'm glad to be a part of your operation.
Thanks for the invitation. It's great to be here.
So for listeners who aren't familiar with the county commissioners, which probably are actually a lot of folks, but the county commissioners do a lot in Monroe County. The job description is, there are a lot of bullet points to it: the audit claims, authorize contracts, maintain the county property, supervise construction projects, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on for quite a long time if you just read what the commissioners do. But one thing that they do is they work in a very powerful position in county government that has a budget of, more than $60 million a year. It's not a small responsibility. The commissioners earn roughly $33,000 a year. It's different for different commissioners. The job is considered part-time. So it's not a small responsibility. Let's go ahead and start. We'll just ask both of you, Nelson and Julie, can you tell us why you're qualified to be a county commissioner? Let's start with you, Nelson.
Well, I have operated a number of large-scale operations. I was the executive director for the Indiana Academy of Sciences, which did not have a budget that big, but it did have substantial cost. It required budgeting, required an awful lot of interpersonal relation with scientists who are often fairly sure of themselves. They're very bright, and it takes a fair amount of handling to make things happen. We did a number of things, including the video about the natural heritage of Indiana, which was very well received. And also, we started something called Celebrate Science Indiana, a STEM outreach. I also operated a fairly large research group, which performed a number of contracts at both the state, national, even international level. And I own a small business.
That was Nelson Schaefer, who is one of the candidates for county commissioner. And your opponent, Julie Thomas, the incumbent, can you tell us why you are qualified to be a county commissioner?
Thank you. Yes, I began service to the county years before this, and I was on the Board of Zoning Appeals, appointed to the Board of Zoning Appeals. I was elected as county counselor in 2008. I served through the end of 2012 as a county counselor. So that gives me experience with budgets and understanding how county government departments work and function together. And then as a commissioner, since December 2012, I believe I've made some great strides in getting a lot of projects done. We've got our energy savings program. We have our collaborative Speak Up Monroe County, which is a website designed to engage residents with county government on the web 24/7, and working on a new website as well. For the county, which is good. And I worked a lot with the Fullerton Pike area residents to engage them in the process of redesigning their road and bringing them to the table, which probably would not have happened before. And this has really had a big influence on the design of the roadway, which is now down from 5 lanes down to 3. So it was a really proud thing, a proud moment for me to bring those folks to the table. So it's about efficiency and effectiveness, and I think I have those qualifications just based on my experience, my record.
So let's talk about, the county commissioners. I think if you just walked out on the street and you asked somebody, what do the county commissioners do, most folks would not even know that there are county commissioners. So, why should anybody who's listening or anybody who goes into a voting center this November care who the county commissioner is? Maybe we can start with Julie on this one.
Sure. I think there's a great deal of sort of a civics lesson that needs to be done with our community, and I so want to bring that to the table. One of the things I'd like to work on in my next term would be to bring the lessons of the County Citizens Academy to the website through short videos about every department and what they do. Because I do think that folks don't understand much of what happens in county government. People forget that if they're in the city, that they're also part of the county. I've had people tell me that. Well, I don't vote for county offices because I'm in the city. No, you're part of the county. So, but it has to do with roads. It has to do with how government is administered. Outside of those departments that have elected officials as department heads, the county commissioners are responsible for that. We're also responsible for passing ordinances relating to things like speed limits and stop signs and, of course, planning and zoning as well. So we do have a great impact on the day-to-day lives of a lot of people in Monroe County.
And Nelson, what do you say?
Well, the county commissioners exercise sort of strange power because many of the people they deal with, many of the folks who run the day-to-day operations are elected. And we can't control the elections. People elect whoever they want. We've had some incidents lately of missteps in the auditor's office and other offices. You can't just fire them, so you have to deal with them. Julie mentioned that you write the ordinances. There are all sorts of basically laws that affect day-to-day living. It really has a great impact on business. And some of the boards and commissions, these are made by volunteers who are appointed by the commissioners. And as such, they have a great deal of power in planning, zoning, and other things. And that's one of the reasons I'm running. I think the ability to write laws has been used to excess. Business people come to me and say, look, I want to start a business, but it's so difficult. And, you know, the rules may change in the middle of things, and I've had plans, and a number of people have just given up. They've thrown up their hands and stopped. This area has sort of a reputation as not being the most friendly to business, and I'd like to change that. I want to get some more businesses, and I've helped to attract a number of businesses as they relate to geology. I'm a geologist, and I work with people trying to site new locations, and it's a good feeling to see a company come in and build a facility and hire people and bring in tax money and so forth. I'd like to see more of that with less oversight by the county. They also have the options of improving things like the airport, the fairgrounds. The county owns substantial holdings, and I would like to see some of them put to work for an innovation center such as they have at Purdue University.
So let's get right to some of the issues that county commissioners will deal with. Anybody who's, either of you who's elected will be a member of the Monroe County Solid Waste Management District's Board of Directors. I can't believe I said that whole thing correctly. You'll be a member of that board, which means that you'll be dealing with one of the longest standing controversies in county government over the materials recovery facility. Some people might have heard the word MRF, basically a facility that would process recyclables for sale. And there's been a lot of controversy over whether the county should build this, and there have been stops and starts again. So let's just get on the record where each of you stand on this. Nelson, do you think that the MRF is a viable project?
It was when they started it. I serve on the Citizens Advisory Committee for the Solid Waste District. And looking at the numbers that we had at the beginning, and in fact, there have been parts of the MRF purchased and they haven't been set up. Things change in recycling, and if you look at the current levels of cost versus price you get for commodities, it's not as viable as it once was. But it's more complex than that, in that you can have a single or a separate waste streams. These things have to be decided. But more importantly, there has to be a sort of a coalition between the city and the county and, of course, Indiana University, if possible, so as to maximize the efforts in one facility with one set of trucks and so forth. Also, the plans were to have the MRF out in the county at the old Anderson Road landfill. This makes a lot of extra driving and needs trucks and fuel and so forth. So a more centrally located site would be useful. Certainly, the values of recycling are very self-evident, and we need to do that. But with the existing facility, I'm not entirely sure that it is going to make money. Now, even at that, you still have to collect the waste and do something with it. In fact, some of my research involved, if you will, mining or taking materials out of landfills once they're established. And one of the companies I did attract here exploited natural gas that is generated in landfills at the South Vigo landfill of Republic.
So Julie Nelson is not sure if this is a viable project. Do you think that the MRF is a viable project?
Well, let me give you a little background, and that might help explain my answer. The mission of the Solid Waste Management District is to reduce the amount of waste that goes to landfills. So if we're merely collecting clean recyclables and bundling them ourselves and selling them on the market, we're replicating what Republic Services does. Right now, Republic Services gives us 50% back on most of those, and some of that we get 100%, for example, on metal. So really, to recoup that 50% difference in cost is a really fine line, as is pointed out. But the MRF idea is to actually create a dual stream, which would not only collect clean, which we're doing now, but also to actually have a facility that would go through trash, where people go through trash, machinery and people go through trash and pull out what are called dirty recyclables, which have a lower market value, but they are marketable. And they clearly can be, there are a lot of items thrown out that can be recycled. The question is, how much volume do we need to make that economically viable? And that's why we're looking at getting a consultant. Typically, I don't support getting consultants on board for most things because you end up with a lot of boilerplates. But if we find somebody who's actually operated a MRF, we can get a sense of the volume that we need. We determine how much we require, for example, the city, IU, and surrounding counties, for example, can use the services as well. So this could be an incredibly great thing. It would have to be somewhere close to probably the near west side, may need to be near a rail spur, but we need to figure out the amount of volume, the kind of building, the kind of equipment, personnel. We don't have enough information to make a good decision right now on this. And so if it's economically viable, I'm all for it because it will help us meet our mission.
Julie, you've been on the board for a little while now, and again, I'm talking about the board for the Solid Waste District. Mm-hmm. It's been discussed for years and years. Why don't we know enough yet to figure out whether or not we can build this?
Right. Well, there was a study done a few years back which provided some good information. We've had a change in directors. We also have had a change in some of our board members. And so that changes the perspective and that changes the questions that are raised. And what it's actually done is raised more questions, which is never a bad thing. I think it's always good to ask these questions before we embark on such a huge project. This would require, if we do proceed with a dual stream MRF, if it's viable, what it would require is an IDEM certification because it becomes a disposal site. And that takes at least 18 months to get. So this is not a short process. There's not going to be a quick answer, but I think this is about doing your homework, doing the research that's needed so that you don't just jump into something that might not be the best thing for the county. And this ties in with this idea of quality of life. And I think I'd like to, if I could, respond to something that was mentioned about businesses. We have just recently supported the purchase of a large piece of property near the airport. There are a number of potential companies, or even out of Crane, that could be using this piece of land, so we're excited about that. But quality of life is important for residents, and it's what brings people here. And we have to balance that with business development and ensure that they're working together. And one of the things I'm working on in the Planning Commission I'm really pushing for is what's called commercial adaptive reuse. An existing commercial building, which we do have a few of them around the county, can be divided up instead of having to be used for their original purpose. They could be divided up and used for multiple tenants at one time, a warehouse, an office, et cetera, all at the same time. And I think that that's going to really spark new business development, especially because we're trending towards, according to the Economic Development Corporation and the Chamber of Commerce, we're really trending towards folks who want small startup space of 2,000 to 5,000 square feet. And I think we're going to be able to reach that.
Nelson, do you think that the county is doing enough to attract those kinds of businesses or attract any viable businesses and appropriately balancing that with quality of life concerns?
Well, no, I don't think they are. This county has a lot of land that is totally undeveloped. And when you go out and knock on doors and you get all over the county, there are enormous places that there are no people, very few roads even. There's a lot of open space here. It's a beautiful landscape with all sorts of recreational facilities. And I think the county and the city and Indiana University have done a great job in contributing to the quality of life. But part of quality of life is having a job. And I'm very interested in having jobs. I don't want to bring in a, like a hog rendering plant or something. There has to be some sense. But I think there are many, many ways to encourage people to come here. You can advertise. I don't see us mentioned in the Wall Street Journal or any of those places. And there's sort of a sense among businesses that it's tough to get started here. And I can give you names if you'd like, but let's not do that now. The other thing she mentioned, and I'm fully in favor of cooperating with Crane, IU, and others to try to bring businesses here.
Before we move on, though, I want to make sure we touch on what you think can be done besides advertisement. What else could the county do?
Well, eliminating some of the laws. There are a lot of land use stipulations that have done through the ordinances, in part through the planning document that was done 2 or 3 years ago, which faced a fair amount of opposition, but was passed anyway. Some of this has to do with subdividing large tracts of land that are owned by farmers or families, some of whom have been here since the beginning of the county. Some of them have to do with signage. There's a lot of environmental concerns about one person came to me and he put quite a bit of money into making a laboratory. And then they came up and not only did they want to have landscaping, but they wanted to stipulate the trees and all of that. This is a bit much. And you can have a very good quality of life without dictating every jottle and tit of the laws. And I think the businesses, in particular, innovative businesses, don't like this.
Julie, as you said, you're on the Plan Commission as well. Are there fair criticisms to be made about the county's rules, particularly concerning zoning, but any kind of regulations being overly burdensome?
Well, I can understand that there have been some discussions about this, but I think it comes from a place of, I would say that the thing that we didn't do as well as we could have, and we have to figure out how to do better, is how to communicate what we're actually doing better. I think what we have are great, strong ideas. We're working right now on the urbanizing area plan. That's the area around the city of Bloomington. That's where the infrastructure is to support businesses. It's not out in the middle of nowhere, out way in the far reaches of the county. You need things like sewer and roads and bridges and intersections and emergency services and all of those things to support businesses. And that's why we're focusing on that area now as the place to grow businesses. Mr. Schaefer mentioned the issue of farms trying to subdivide. We actually created an easier way to do that called the sliding scale that preserves green space but allows a great deal of latitude in subdividing off small pieces of a large lot for residential development. And what that does is it allows folks to totally bypass even the Plan Commission to do that. So we've actually made things, I think, a lot cleaner and easier. And that's the thing we have to continue to work on as we finish this plan and work on ordinances, is ensure that our ordinances are as clear as possible. And I don't think they ever were in the past, but we're really moving toward a lot more clarity in our communication about what's there and what's not. We do have to be concerned about erosion control, stormwater. There are a lot of things that we have to keep in mind. And we also have to remember that one of the things that's part of economic development is agriculture. Agriculture is economic development, and we seem to forget that. And we talk a lot about small businesses. Well, farms are small businesses, and we now have a new ordinance in the last few years to allow roadside farm stands anywhere in the county. So people could sell their produce on the road without any restrictions to it. They just have to have a safe place for someone to pull off the road. So I think we're making a lot of strides in that area.
And if I may interject, I would encourage voters to talk to farmers and businessmen. Planning, central planning sounds good, but often it doesn't work as well as it sounds.
Let's move on to the public safety tax, which was really passed earlier this summer, although it's had to be considered for renewal due to a technicality that would take too long to explain. But the it's a tax that will bring in, assuming it's renewed, roughly $7 million a year. County taxpayers will pay that amount, of course. It's going to go partly, about a third of it will be spent on the 911 dispatch center, but a lot of it will be spent generally on public safety needs around the county. So I want to ask each of you, if you believe that we do need to spend, you know, it's going to be, again, about $7 million a year on public safety needs each year, another $7 million. And if so, how do you think that this money should be spent? Maybe let's go ahead and start with Julie on this one.
Okay, great. Right, the Tax Council is actually meeting the 27th tonight. So this is something set up in state law where the Tax Council, the percentage of the vote in the Tax Council actually goes to the jurisdiction with the largest population. So the city of Bloomington is actually driving this bus, which is interesting. But yes, it is a countywide payroll tax. The county will be getting about $2.2 million. And they're planning right now, according to what I've heard from Councilor Munson, they're planning right now to bring on 5 new sheriff's deputies. And all their operating expenses that go with that would be covered as well. There's also needs in corrections and probation and other needs for the sheriff's department. I think that this is really absolutely necessary right now because our traditional stream of 911 funding is become absolutely unreliable, and that's through landline taxes. And we do get something from cell phones, but not some of them that are sold as the pay-as-you-go. So we have a very inconsistent stream of dollars coming in to pay for dispatch, and dispatch is really the hub of everything that happens. I'm looking forward to seeing our townships and those first responders. They do such a great job in getting some additional needed funding as well, because they really are strapped out in the townships. And so I think this is a win-win all the way around.
And you think we need the new deputies and the other, you know, the rest of the expenses as well?
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, what it looks like is if you look at what the levels of funding should be for a county our size, we're still, even with the 5 new deputies, going to be below what is recommended. And I'm certainly not saying we're in the middle of a big crime wave, but we do have a new highway, and we do have new issues that are going to be facing us. And I don't think the residents of this county would be upset to have additional protection at this point.
Nelson, do we need a public safety tax? And if so, what should we spend it on?
Well, yes, I sat in on a number of those hearings. And of course, every unit made a very strong case for more personnel, more equipment, and so forth. Some obviously much more justified than others. But this is a peculiar way to do a tax. Normally, one sees a need, sets out like the MRF, and does some research, gets some numbers, and then proposes a tax. This was just sort of an opportunistic, almost a drive-by opportunity to add to the county option rate. And then after they decided to get the maximum amount, how they would distribute the funds. The whole passage and the irregularities, partly because of the state, make it confusing to many people. And as an example, there was a very nice effort a couple years ago to add a food and beverage tax. And that was a done deal. The people in control, in charge, sort of talked amongst each other, and they had that almost done. But some of us learned of this and made a bit of noise and encouraged people to look at it and think about it. And eventually that tax was not passed. Now, that's different. That was to fund a convention center. But there are grand plans that need a little more thought, and certainly input from the public. I think if anybody's been watching this, this came up very suddenly, and it was done. And the county has there's sort of been the largest group gets the say. I mean, the county can sit there and talk, but they can't outvote the city. So it's a peculiar tax to be certain, as are some other taxes. And part of one of the things that impressed me, if you look at the map of the county, there are bits of county that are actually inside the city, and there are bits of city that are outside in the county with no connection to the city. This leads to issues of dispatch, and I'm sure all sorts of other accounting and other issues. You know, just a cleanup of that issue could probably help quite a bit. But there's no doubt that the county sheriffs need more people. They need more vehicles. And very soon we will probably see a need for an improved jail or enlarged jail.
We've been speaking with Julie Thomas, who is the incumbent running for a second term as a county commissioner, as well as Nelson Schaefer, who is her Republican opponent. They'll both be on the ballot this November. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I encourage people to visit www.voteschaefer.com and see some of the hard and fast things.
www.julieThomas.us. That's a good idea. Thank you, Nelson.
Thanks.